From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the secret recording of Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonham and the political fallout. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies.
Been a while.
So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I'm glad it's not running.
Okay.
That was good.
This is how the 64-minute recording begins, with cordial greetings, family talk, and other pleasantries. It's June 12th. Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonham and Dustin Burroughs, then the head of the Texas House Republican Caucus, met with Michael Quinn Sullivan at the Capitol. Bonham and Burroughs didn't know that Sullivan was recording that meeting. Sullivan said he was glad it wasn't raining, but a political storm was brewing. This tape has been a hurricane for the Republican speaker, and there are mounting calls for him to resign. On the tape, we hear frank talk from Bonham about moderate Republican lawmakers that he would like to see challenged in the primary to push the legislature further to the right. He talks trash about certain state representatives from both parties. Bonham promises Sullivan press access to the House floor if he follows this script. The speaker also makes it clear that one of his goals is to pass laws that hurt cities and county governments, and another Bonham quid pro quo promise. He will ban Scott Braddock, editor of the Quorum Report, from the House floor. Texas Monthly has called Braddock the best-sourced journalist at the Capitol. Scott Braddock joins me now to discuss this tape itself, the drama surrounding it, the political fallout, and his own reaction to being cast in the middle of it.
The Texas House Republican Caucus is meeting in Austin at the Barton Creek Resort. So they're playing golf and drinking and carousing. Democrats do a version of this too. It's a big social event. They get together, but they also handle their business. They'll have a business meeting today, later this afternoon, where it may be discussed. It's a private meeting of the Republican members of the Texas House, where they may talk about the scandal with the speaker, who is accused of offering floor access to a dark money group in exchange for how they would spend their political action committee dollars in Republican primaries next year. The Speaker of the House is accused of, and it's confirmed by the audio that was released, that he's accused of targeting members of his own party right at a time when all of the talk among the political class is that Republicans need to be united because Democrats in Texas are ascendant. They may take the majority in the Texas House next year. That's a very real concern for Republicans. Karl Rove, the big consultant who worked for former President George W. Bush, underscored that threat to Republicans in his speech to the caucus last night at their big gala dinner. And so they're very worried about Democrats, electing a speaker in the Texas House next legislative session. And so it may come to a head here today here in Austin that Republicans may have it out, or that may not happen. It's totally up to them.
It's Friday, 10:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. as we're having this conversation. And it's kind of hard to get an idea about this story, where we are in the news cycle on it. Has this blown over and now we're in the recovery phase for these players? Is this still gelling, or has the political obituary been written for Speaker Bonham and we're just waiting for them to hit send?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, David. When you talk to Republican members privately, they will tell you they're very concerned about what has now been confirmed. These aren't just allegations anymore. The audio is out. We know what the speaker said to the head of what is one of the shadiest groups in Texas politics, that basically he was trading away part of the institution, which is it's the members of the House who vote on the rules to decide who can be on the floor and have direct access to them while they are deliberating the laws that we all live under. As the House members are voting on bills that are going to go to the governor's desk and potentially be a law that you and I have to live under. It used to be the case in Texas that someone could walk onto the floor and start handing out $10,000 checks to lawmakers while they were deliberating the laws. A lot of really good laws were passed in the meantime to keep that from happening. So this is very concerning. The members are not over it. And in fact, I don't know that anyone could say it's anywhere close to blowing over, because while the story has been out there for a few months, or a couple of months now, lingering and sort of simmering, and information about what had been said in this meeting, you know, info kept coming out, it kept leaking out. But to actually hear the audio, to have it hit these people's ears right as they're getting together, this is the first time that the Republican members of the Texas House have all been, at least almost all of them, been in one place, physically been in one place since this scandal became a thing. So it's nowhere close to blowing over. They do want to talk about it. And as you have seen and reported, there are many members of the House who are coming forward one after another saying the Speaker should step down, that he basically sold out the institution, and so he doesn't have the trust of the members anymore. And that trust is key, because the Speaker of the House is elected by the members of the House. They have to trust him, not just you know, as the guy holding the gavel, but the person who is controlling the flow of legislation, and really being a deal maker and an honest broker. That's what they expect, is somebody who's going to do what he said he was would do. And the issue is duplicity. You know, he was saying one thing publicly. He was saying that Republican members of the House and that all members of the House should avoid campaigning against each other, should avoid any sort of infighting among the incumbents of the House. And he was doing the exact opposite in that meeting. Hard to trust somebody who's just straight lying to your face.
Let's talk about the rollout of this story. So they had the meeting with Dennis Bonham and Dustin Burroughs and with Michael Quinn Sullivan. His group is called?
Empower Texans.
Empower Texans. And they are what? You call them a dark money group? What do you mean by
that?
Yes,
sir. Empower Texans runs three organizations that are constituted differently, but they all have the same name. They run a 501c3, a 501c4, and a political action committee that are all called Empower Texans. The politically active nonprofits are not required under the law to report and disclose who their contributors are. So we don't know who is giving them the money, who is giving them the millions of dollars that they spend in elections to elect or defeat candidates. The Political Action Committee does have to release and disclose its donors, but because of the way they have this operation set up, it's very easy for them to hide who is funding their operations. And I think part of this scandal comes down to fear. There's fear among Republicans that secret donors are spending millions of dollars against them to push them further and further to the right. This is why we see anti-immigrant legislation in this state. This is why we see one of the reasons we see the push against transgender people in the last legislative session. And one of the big stories coming out of this legislative session this year was that a lot of that was being put behind us, that stuff was in the rearview mirror. Remember, David, the whole theme of the legislative session was that Republicans united get results. You know, the governor, lieutenant governor, and the speaker all working together to pass property tax reform and reforming the school finance system. They wanted to focus on that. They didn't want to have infighting among Republicans. They didn't want to talk about social issues very much. Of course, there was a little bit of that. They have to do some of that to sort of placate their base. But most of it was going along to get along. And what some Republicans described as one of the most successful legislative sessions that they've ever seen. And in fact, you had Democrats praising the speaker coming out of the legislative session, saying that he was the right man in this moment in history. And so to have all of that thrown in the garbage because now the members don't feel that they can trust the speaker is very disappointing to all of these folks who are involved in this process.
So Empower Texas, are they a lobbying group? Are they a political action committee? Are they a journalist organization? What is it?
They do have a political action committee. They have a newsletter. They say that they are a media organization, and they have worked a lot to blur the lines between what it means to be media versus a dark money organization or a political action committee. I guess one way to say it is that journalists don't run multi-million dollar PACs. You can't think of any newspaper or radio station or political newsletter that does that. And newspapers make endorsements of candidates, but they don't make direct expenditures in elections. For example, Empower Texan spends millions of dollars every year on mail pieces that show up in Texas House races and Texas Senate races. They spend millions of dollars on radio advertisements, and some places they buy television advertising. You don't see journalistic outfits do that.
So we have this meeting June 12th, Bonham, Burroughs, Sullivan. They get together and they are talking pretty frankly about the state of politics in Texas, and they try to strike a deal trying to get Michael Quinn Sullivan to target moderate Republicans in the upcoming primary. And they also offer you up as someone that they would block from having access to the House floor. We'll get into more into all of that a little bit later. So in July is when we first started hearing that from Michael Quinn Sullivan that this meeting had happened and that these things were said. And we heard from the speaker's office that this was all lies. It wasn't true. Don't believe anything Michael Quinn Sullivan ever says, because we all know that he's just a despicable individual. Yep. And then we hear from Sullivan, it's like, I got it on tape.
Yeah.
And so it's this whole thing already started off with, it's got crosses and double crosses.
So much of what has caused the speaker damage is the way that he and his office handled this. I think someday, and I think someone else said this very accurately, someday there may be classes taught about how to not respond to a scandal. And this would be the case study. The speaker at first denied what had been said. Then he admitted that he had said terrible things about members of the Texas House, including making an anti-LGBT joke about one person, also making some nasty comments about one female member of the House who he called vile. He apologized for saying terrible things, but said that it was hardball politics and so it's not illegal. And so the point you're making is key, I think, you know, the way this was all handled and the rollout of it. Sometimes the cover-up is worse than the original original sin, right? We've seen that many times in the history of politics, where someone will simply not admit to what they did. Look at the example of President Trump with the scandal with Ukraine that's leading to the impeachment movement in Washington. The Trump administration basically admits that the outline of the story is correct. They just say there's nothing wrong with what he did, and they try to change the subject to Joe Biden and his family, profiting off of relationships with folks in other countries. With this speaker scandal, he completely denied that any of it was true, and it all turns out that it is true because we've all now heard it.
And there's also a quid pro quo in this tape as well.
The Texas Rangers and the Brazoria County District Attorney's Office are looking into whether there was an illegal quid pro quo in the words that were said. To some, and I've talked to a lot of legal experts about this, and there are some who can argue it one way, there are others who argue it another way. To some, they see it pretty cut and dry that this government action allowing floor access during the deliberations of the Texas House in exchange for the spending of political cash in elections, that that's a quid pro quo, and that that would be a benefit to the speaker, because if you listen to the audio, he's very focused on his own race. Important for people to remember, the speaker of the Texas House is just a member of the House who is then elected as speaker. So he has to run in an election, in a primary, and then in a general election in his home area, in his home part of the state. And in this tape, Bonin is very focused on himself. He keeps saying, basically, if you don't spend money on my race, then we're fine. If you're not spending money against me, then we don't have any problem. He's saying that to this dark money group. So he's very focused on himself, very focused on whether or not he's going to have a tough reelection effort, and he's trying to avoid that. And he's willing to give Empower Texans the benefit of something that they've been fighting in court to have. They want to be on the floor of the House during the legislative session. They are suing over that issue in federal court, and that's at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans right now.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. I'm speaking with Scott Braddock, the editor of the Quorum Report. He was specifically mentioned in the secret recording of House Speaker Dennis Bonham, recorded by conservative blogger Michael Quinn Sullivan. We're talking about the political fallout And what does this mean for the 2020 elections? I'm going to play some of that audio right now so our listeners can hear. The recording is not good. It kind of seems like this was recorded on a phone. This is early on in the discussion, after they break off with the pleasantries and talk about the trip to Europe and eating snails and stuff. And now Dennis Bonham says he wants to cut, you know, let's talk turkey. And he says, I'm trying to win in 2020. And he wants to move the House further to the right to govern from a conservative perspective. And certainly he wants to get away with the Joe Strauss way of doing things, who was the previous speaker. So I'm going to go ahead and play that tape.
All right, so
what's going on?
I'm trying to win in 2020.
Okay.
In November. And, you know, when we had breakfast, one of the things I visited with you about was, is there any way that for 2020, we sort of say, and when I say we, I've not really been in the middle of it, but, you know, we're not trying to
kill each other. Sure.
Yeah, whoever the weeds. Let's not spend millions of dollars fighting in primaries when we need to spend millions of dollars trying to win in November. And so honestly, I just wanted to see if we can try and figure that out. Mm-hmm. And I mean this in a polite way. Mm-hmm. If you need some primaries to fight in, I will leave. We would love it if you fought it. Mm-hmm. Not that you need our permission, but what I would love to be able to do, candidly, is kind of have, I don't want to say agreement, but kind of understanding, look, you want to go pop some guys, you're asking us, but you don't have to. Again, it's not going to always be what you would tell or dictate if you were in charge, okay? But I have been and will continue to govern from the conservative perspective of our caucus over. So the problem I'm going to have is that either way, whether we lose a few seats or we gain a few seats or we just stay stagnant, if I still have the same 10 moderate Republicans who don't want to help on anything, I'm still unable to do what you and I would want done, and then maybe not even more you would want done, okay? And that's a monumental shift. Mm-hmm. Joe Strauss wanted to govern from there and screw here. I want to govern from here and screw there. You follow me?
Yeah. Well, what is the significance of this exchange?
The real game in Texas politics right now is Republicans trying to hold the majority in the Texas House because redistricting is coming up in 2021 in the next legislative session. Redistricting is about allocation of power, right? This is when they draw the lines that each member of the House and Senate and our members of Congress, the districts that they all run in, to then either go to Austin or Washington. And if Republicans are in firm control and complete control of that process, then they can solidify as much as they can Republican power in this state for the next 10 years, for the next decade. And so it is critical from the speaker's perspective to not have Republicans fighting with each other, to not have in the kind of infighting we saw under the Joe Strauss decade in office. The speaker believes that what Republicans need to do is spend their time, money, and resources on defeating Democrats in November instead of having nasty primary elections in the state next year.
Now, they also bring up Donald Trump and his impact on what's happening in Texas.
I just think we got to get through 2020, guarantee that we try and hold this majority, which, all due respect to Trump, who I love, by the way, he's killing us in urban, suburban districts. I mean, Andy Chinbutt, I polled him. Anyway, so I guess that's where I'm going, is can we kind of not waste our resources, yours and mine, and everyone else's, fighting over members that aren't really...
What is your reaction to what Dennis Bonham says about Donald Trump?
The speaker is probably correct. If you look at the places where Republicans lost their races or almost lost their races in 2018, Democrats were winning races in places like Collin County, Denton County, Williamson County, Fort Bend County. These are suburban areas where the demographics have been changing over the last 10 years and really in recent election cycles, some places where it was rock-solid Republican even two election cycles ago. And suddenly all these new Democrats were voting for Beto O'Rourke, where he carried Tarrant County, for example, which until 2018 was the largest urban Republican county in the United States. Things are changing because of the demographic shifts. You have, very ethnically diverse suburbs now. You have suburbs that are growing so quickly, especially around Houston and Dallas-Fort Worth, that the old playbook for Republicans simply doesn't work in those places anymore. It used to be that they could campaign on social conservatism, fiscal conservatism, but there's a diversity, not just of ethnicity, but also of ideas in the rapidly growing suburbs in this state. And so those races are competitive, and the speaker wants to focus on those rather than, fighting, among Republicans. He wants Republicans to be fighting Democrats and learning new ways to run these campaigns and win in those places.
Speaker Dennis Bonham has not spoken publicly about this tape since it's been released. However, they did put out a statement. He says, "I have repeatedly called for the recording to be released because it will be immediately clear that no laws were broken. This is nothing more than a political discussion. The problem is that I had it with that guy. My colleagues have always deserved the facts, and the context of this recording provides with the clear evidence now disproving allegations of criminal wrongdoing. The House can finally move on." Were no laws broken?
The Texas Rangers and the Brazoria County District Attorney are looking into that question. It's not clear if any laws were broken. As a judge who is hearing a lawsuit that's related to all this said this week, when there's a quid pro quo, it's very rare that the actual language that's used is something along the lines of, if you do this, then I'll do that. But I will say, for political observers, it's a very low bar that the speaker's office is trying to set here.
Now, to that point that you have to have a magic phrase of, if you do this, then I will do that, that makes quid pro quo. I'm looking at the transcript, and I'm going to play the clip here. Dennis Bonham saying, if we can make this work, meaning if Sullivan targets the soft, moderate Republicans, if we can make this work, I'll put your guys on the floor next session.
We can make this work. I'll put your guys on the floor next session.
Or take them all off, I'm fine either way.
And here's what I will do. I'll do what Patrick did. I'll take Braddock off.
In the clip, you get mentioned. I'll take Braddock off, and we'll talk about that in just a sec. But first, let's focus on the first part of that. That sounds like quid pro quo to me.
It sounds like quid pro quo to a lot of people who heard that. The fact that the language in that specific moment is a little vague about, if we can make this work, make what work exactly, I think is going to be the question. But he is absolutely trying to strike a deal with Sullivan. And of course, Sullivan says he's not interested in that and he doesn't need the speaker to do anything, which complicates things a little.
Okay, so what about using floor access as a transactional item? Is that a problem?
It's a huge problem. The main reason is that the members of the House vote on rules that determine what kind of a person can be on the floor. And by what kind of person, I mean they have to basically check some boxes on an application, on a form that says that they don't lobby, and there is a requirement that they not operate a political action committee. This is what the House members have decided is appropriate for who can be right there on the floor as they're deliberating the laws of the state of Texas.
And then the other part of the quid pro quo that Speaker Bonham promises Michael Quinn Sullivan, also, if you do that, I'll do what Patrick did. I'll take Braddock off. That's you.
Yes,
off means they'll take you off the floor. They'll pull your press access. Well, first of all, what does it feel like to have suddenly your name pop up in here?
I was not surprised for this reason. The speaker in the audio sounds like he's Monty Hall trying to make a deal right? He's trying to make a deal with Empower Texans, which is a group that I have worked for at least 6 years to expose who they are, what they do, how they operate. I have been very adversarial with Empower Texans for good reason. I believe they're bad actors. I believe that they corrupt the political process. And I think I've been vindicated in this scandal. But if the Speaker of the House thought that I'm the journalist that Empower Texans would hate the most, I'm okay with that. The other thing is that the Speaker doesn't always appreciate the coverage that we provide at QuorumReport.com because the Speaker is a little bit of a schemer, as now has been proven by this audio. And what we do at Quorum Report is we like to report on the story under the story. We like to tell you exactly what's really happening at the Texas Capitol, what the real reasons for action at the Capitol, what those reasons really are. And there are many, many wonderful journalists in the Texas Press Corps, so many of them who do a great job, and I don't want to take anything away from anybody else. But we provide a type of coverage that the Speaker doesn't appreciate because we are helping political professionals understand in real time what's really happening at the Capitol.
So there is talk now that Speaker Bonham is done. Now there is just trying to come up with a transitional person to take over for the House, another Republican, someone who can mend fences and also help the Republican Party maintain their majority in the House in 2020.
Well, there's talk of having sort of a caretaker speaker, if you will, someone who's a senior Republican, someone like John Smithy from Amarillo or Charlie Guerin from Fort Worth. These are conservative Republicans who might say, I'll be speaker for now, but I won't run for speaker in the 2021 session, and the members can sort of do a reset and figure out who they want the leader to be at that time. The process for that would be that Bonin would either have to be forced from office potentially by a criminal case, or he would have to resign. When the legislature is not in session, there's no mechanism for the members of the House to remove him from the chair.
And will this tape and the scandal that comes from it, will this be a factor in the 2020 House races across Texas?
I've been trying to figure that out. You know, if you listen to the tape, you're playing audio from it this morning, it's sort of a controlled conversation. There's a lot that's said there that is that's very inappropriate. Some of these comments that he made about a man who he said was a closet homosexual and the comment about a woman being vile, I'm not sure how that hits people's ears and whether they even know who the Speaker of the House is. As you know, the Speaker of the House has very low name ID in Texas. The Speaker is generally usually sort of an insider's concern in Austin. But it does have, I think, those kinds of comments have the potential to turn some voters off, particularly and ironically in the places that Speaker Bonin said he was trying to help Republicans win in November of 2020. The things that came out of his mouth could very well turn off some of those swing voters that they need in places like Collin County, Denton County, Fort Bend County, et cetera.
Scott Braddock has been called by Texas Monthly as the best sourced journalist at the Capitol. He is the editor of the Quorum Report. He was named specifically in the secret recording by Dennis Bonham that he promised Michael Quinn Sullivan that he would ban Braddock from the floor of the House if Sullivan would target certain Republican lawmakers in the upcoming primary. There are mounting calls for House Speaker Dennis Bonham to resign. Dustin Burroughs, also on this tape, then the head of the Texas House Republican Caucus, has resigned. Texas Rangers are investigating to see if any laws were broken. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.